Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 44. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet.'"
Good morning. All right, I'm going to ask a question that's going to date how old you are. How many of you remember the 1960s and the time during the Cold War when we were afraid that Russia was going to come and bomb us? Do you remember those days? Uh-huh. And do you remember having those drills in class where you had to get under your desk? And some of you are shaking your head, yes. You may not remember that. If any of you grew up in the north, it's particularly in what we consider Tornado Alley, we also had those wonderful tornado drills. And again, we would have those in Illinois all of the time. We lived in Tornado Alley, and we'd have those tornado drills, and we'd have to go to some special place where it was deemed that the walls were strong enough that if a tornado came through, you'd be safe. Everybody, though, all of the little kids even remember the fire drills, right? Do you remember fire drills at school? We had one just recently at OVU with our college students. All of those drills were drills that told us it could be any time and you've got to be ready. But being ready was the key. Being ready. I think Jesus is concerned that his disciples may get tired and lazy as they go through this difficult task of discipleship. And so he's worried about them, and so he's going to call them to indeed be ready. And so I've entitled our lesson just that this morning. Jesus begins in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, "Be dressed and in readiness, keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks." Notice he begins with this, be ready and dressed. You got to be prepared. And in particular, he uses this first little parable. The first parable is, the master is coming back from a wedding feast. Now, back in those days, wedding feasts are a lot different than they are today. A wedding feast could last for as long as a week. So you have no idea how long he's going to be gone, but he's going to be coming back from this wedding feast, and are you going to be ready for him? And so he will say that the person who's blessed is the one who will be waiting for him, ready to open the door immediately when he knocks at the door. And so there's the call, first illustration. The second illustration is this one. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at table, and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. Again, the master is away, and there are slaves who need to be ready for him to return. And the strange thing is about this parable, something's going to happen that never happens. The master is going to come back, and the master is going to serve the servants. Slaves being served by their master? Why, that's unbelievable. But indeed, that's exactly what Jesus is going to do when he comes again. He's going to be the one serving us. And notice it says he may come at the second watch or even the third watch. They divided the night into four watches. From 6 o'clock at night until 9 o'clock is the first watch, and that's one that you're not terribly surprised about. 9 o'clock till midnight, coming back at midnight, traveling those hours would be strange. But midnight till 3 a.m., that's unbelievable. But blessed is the one who is prepared, who is waiting for his master. And so Jesus is really calling them to indeed be ready and to be on the watch. But be sure of this, that if the head of the household had come at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The third little parable, isn't that interesting? One parable right after another. The third parable is a thief is going to come and rob your house. And normally the thief isn't going to come during the daylight hours when you'll be there and ready for him. He's going to come at night when you don't expect it. He'll sneak in and get it. And again, the call is, you too be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Because you don't know when Jesus is going to come again. Now, it's going to be interesting because when Luke writes this, Luke is probably writing this maybe 30 years after Jesus has died, but they're getting kind of anxious and they're saying, oh, is he going to come? Is he going to come? Is he going to come? But here we are 2,000 years down the line, and you see why we get anxious. We begin to think, well, second coming? Is there going to be a second coming? I've just been teaching 1 and 2 Peter to my students at OVU. And one of the things that some of the folks were saying is, it's always been the same, it hasn't changed, nothing has changed. And they weren't really expecting a second coming. And because they didn't expect a second coming, they were living rebellious lives. We don't know when Jesus is going to come again. But He certainly is going to. In fact, Jesus tells us that He didn't even know when it was going to be when He was on the earth. But it's going to happen. It's at that point that Peter asks a question. I love good old Peter. Peter always is thinking ahead and he's always asking questions. And so he asks this question, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or everyone else as well? I think the crowd has gone away and Jesus is just with the 12 guys. And Peter's question is that parable for us or is that to everybody? And Jesus' answer is perhaps not what Peter would expect. I think Peter expected him to say, oh, it's for us, or it's for everybody, but he didn't know which way to take it. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward? Parable number 4. Whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. And so Jesus' answer is sort of, is this for us or for everybody? It's for everybody, but it's especially for you. Because I'm giving you responsibility for taking care of those disciples who are going to be following. You see, you've got special responsibility as a teacher, and so it's especially true for you. It's true for everybody, but especially you. And this kind of fella who is in charge and he's doing everything he should and gives the folks their rations, their food when they should have food and making sure they're taken care of, he's the fella who's going to be blessed and the master is going to put him in charge of lots of things. And so we get that part of the parable. And then he finishes with this part. If that slave says to his in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on the day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with unbelievers. If, on the other hand, I come back again and you have been abusing the folks that you're responsible for. I think this is good advice addressed to elders today and to ministers today and to those of us who have responsibility. If he doesn't find us watching and finds us abusing the people around us, then we're going to be assigned this place with unbelievers. By the way, some folks have asked the question about why don't we ever teach about hell? Well, in a way, we're teaching about hell here, right? Because that's what's going to happen. That's where you're going to end up, even if you're one of the good guys and the guys assigned responsibility for looking care of the Lord's people. You're going to be assigned the place with the unbelievers. That's you're assigned to hell. And that slave whom who knew his master's will and did not get ready and to act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who does not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but a few. For everyone who has been given much, much is required, and to him whom it is entrusted of much, they will ask all the more. The more responsibility you have, the more concern you have about carrying out that responsibility. You got to take care of those folks. You got to take it seriously, because you're going to be assigned even more punishment when the day rolls around. Jesus goes on to tell them that it's not going to be like they've thought. I think they assume Jesus is the King of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace on the earth. And in a very real way, He does bring peace to us, because we feel peace in a way that the world can't enjoy and can't know. But He says, you know what? It's not going to be like that, because being a disciple isn't going to be easy. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. Ooh, that sounds rather negative, doesn't it? And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Jesus says, I've got another baptism. I was baptized by John the Baptist, but this baptism, this immersion, is going to be an immersion in fire, because I've got tough things ahead. Jesus, by the way, is now on His way to Jerusalem. Back in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, Jesus sets His face toward Jerusalem, and He never looks back. He's headed there, and He knows what's going to happen there, and He says, I've got this immersion. I'm going to be immersed in this real struggle, and I'm distressed until it's accomplished. Do you suppose I came to grant peace on the earth? I tell you, no, rather division. And then He talks about that division. From now on, 5 members in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Families are going to split over the gospel. You see, He's understanding that in the Jewish setting in particular, some folks are going to become believers in Jesus, and others are going to sort of attack and persecute those folks. Sounds a little like Paul, Saul, doesn't it? You see, he's a good Jew, and he thought he was doing what was right, but he was arresting folks and putting them in prison. But there's going to be some division. You may even have families that are divided. Your families may be divided. You have some folks who are believers and others who are not, and they almost make fun of you for being a believer. And they just don't get it. He's basically saying, don't be surprised at that, guys. That's the way it's going to be. And He's warning these disciples, the 12 in particular, about what's going to happen. It's at that point that He turns and I think addresses the crowds. And He was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. Okay, you're in Israel, and the breeze is coming from the west. That means it's coming off of the Mediterranean, and that means it's going to rain. And they like rain. They don't get much rain there, but they like rain, because it's going to be a shower coming. And it turns out so, He says. And when you see a south wind blowing, the wind is coming from the south, the Arabah, the desert. If it's coming off of the desert, you're going to say, it's going to be hot. It will be a hot day. And it turns out to be that way. He basically says, you guys are smart enough to read the signs and know what the weather's going to be, but you've not been observing the signs that you've been seeing. You've seen me raise the dead, heal the blind, cause the lame to walk, do all of these wonderful things, and you haven't figured out who I am and what I'm all about? What is it? You're supposed to be smart. If you're smart enough to read the weather, you should be able to read those signs that God is giving you. And you should know the difference. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to analyze the present time. Again, we have been blessed because we have these wonderful stories about who Jesus is. And we should be able, from those signs, those things that have been told us about Jesus, to come to faith. He's calling them to realize that. And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? While you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate on your way, there may be an effort to settle with him so that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge will turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you've paid every last cent. Basically, he says, again, you kind of know if there's going to be a lawsuit that if you can settle it before the courts, you're going to come out ahead. So settle those kind of disputes. Basically, he's saying, again, you're smart enough to know how to deal with those issues, and you're smart enough to know the weather, but you're not smart enough to know who I am? Can't you see what I've done? Haven't you heard the stories of what I'm doing? And yet you're missing it all. You miss what really matters. Now, the message is a pretty simple one. Jesus basically told these four parables to say, I can come back and it could be at any time. We're now 2,000 years after his resurrection, and we're really ready for that resurrection to happen, but it could be any time. It could be that you won't live that long. It may be that your days on the earth are going to end because you're going to die, and the judgment for you is over the moment you die. But you got to realize that you need to be ready. So I think it's an important call for us. Again, it's a message that was important to those folks back 2,000 years ago, but it's a message that's important for us today as well. The call to be ready. Be on the watch. Be prepared. Because it could be any time. We're going to sing the song that we're going to sing as an invitation song, and it may be that you're not ready. Maybe you've never come to know Jesus. You've never confessed Him as Lord. You've never repented of sins. You've never been baptized, and you'd like this morning to do that very thing. And we'd be happy to do that with you. Perhaps there are others who have been living lives in such a way that they're not ready for the Lord's return. Today's the day to get ready. And so the call is, be ready. If you need to come, would you come as we stand and as we sing?